Welcome to the My Crazy Office Podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hi, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
So today we're going to hit another touchy subject. How do you know when your recreational substance is becoming a problem at work? So, you know, we all have something that we take, smoke, drink.
Eat.
Yeah. Shop. Some kind of recreational substance abuse. We all have something. So, you know, how do you know when it's become a problem at work?
Yeah.
I just had a couple of clients that, you know, had it affect them negatively at work, specifically alcohol. One person was at a trade show and blacked out and doesn't really remember what happened. Another person had a similar blackout, doesn't remember what happened. So that's, you know, that's not good.
That would be an indication that there's a problem.
It's a red flag.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so I, in preparation for this talk, went to several sites on different substances, and it's interesting because the warning signs are similar, not surprisingly. So here are some questions that you can ask yourself. And one would be, do you sometimes use the substance more than you'd planned? Have you ever tried to quit using the substance unsuccessfully? Which is just interesting because you may have tried and you realize you have a dependency. Do you ever miss work due to overconsumption of the substance? Now, that may happen. That could certainly happen with alcohol. I've known clients who were so high that they were paranoid and stayed in their apartment.
Oh, absolutely. Drugs keep people home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever used the substance with a negative effect on your professional relationships? And so that can take a lot of different forms, right? You might, if you are in a blackout, you may have a conversation you don't remember. You may do things that you don't remember. You may offend someone accidentally. I had, again, one client who would become enraged after taking too much alcohol and burned a few bridges that way.
Yeah.
Do you have other examples, Kathy?
Well, I think, you know, look, what is these substances do? They lower your inhibition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it may be fun when you're with your friends, which I know it's a lot of fun when you're with your friends, but you don't know how your work colleagues are going to handle it. They may have different religious beliefs about, you know, behavior or using substances. Or they just saw something in you that they thought was unprofessional. I just think that you have to remember that all work events are work events. And I think many people don't get that a cocktail party or a holiday party or a conference or a trade show or a meeting, all of those, and there may be alcohol, there may be other things served. That doesn't mean you have to partake. If you can, you know, take too much. I mean, a small amount is probably okay for most people, but not everyone. Some people have an allergy to it or they're addicted and they, you know, even a little is too much. I think you have to know yourself, but also I think you have to remember at any kind of business function, you're probably being paid to be professional. So, and, you know, I have clients in all industries. I have clients in the entertainment industry, in the music industry, and I have these very serious conversations with them all the time. And usually there has to be an event for someone to say, okay, I'm not going to be doing that anymore. An event that was not good, that cost them either their reputation or relationship or clients. So,
Yeah, in the land of recovery, they call it hitting bottom. You do something, say something, experience something that makes it that you just say, I can't do this anymore. Which brings us to another possible indicator, which is, has the use of alcohol drugs, pot, whatever, ever puts you in a dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen if you're going somewhere to buy or sell it. It could happen if you don't remember what you did after taking it. It could happen if you end up with a certain kind of people during. After, I actually have one client who only would go out every so often, often on a business trip, and then just kind of have a wild night, but then end up in dangerous situations where his life was in peril. And then the other one that I think is a big indicator is, do you find yourself planning your life around the use of the substance?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Like you find that you're no longer going to events where you can't smoke or drink or eat or shop. You find yourself kind of reducing all the other activities that don't include the substance in one way or another. So your life is getting smaller while the problems from the use of the substance are getting bigger.
This is so interesting to me. Because I feel like certain cultures or certain occupations, they encourage you to go out and, you know, drink after work or you wanna go to happy hour and you want to land the deal, land the client or look good in your boss's eyes.
Right.
So it may start off really innocent and then sometimes it can turn really, really
That's
dark.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes. And socializing in many jobs is an important element, but that doesn't mean that you have to drink. So the conversation I had with a client the other day, I was saying, you know, she had to go to a cocktail party and I said, well, you don't have to drink alcohol. You can, you know, get some seltzer, some kind of carbonated drink. And she said, oh, but no, everyone will know. And I said, no, because I don't drink at parties and they never, no one ever figures it out. No one ever says, why aren't you drinking? They don't know.
Right.
I have a drink
Whoever
in my hand.
Comes and smells your drink or says, you know.
It just doesn't happen to me. No one.
That's so interesting you say that.
And when people say, can I get you a drink? I go, no, that's okay. You know, I'm going to go to the ladies' room. And I always get my own drink.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that, for example, work in finance can involve a lot of drinking. I know I had a client who was in advertising. Okay, she ended up in AA a few years into her career. And but like you said, Logan, with no intent, she didn't intend to go down that road. It just turned out that that substance was a problem for her.
Right.
And it was very much part of her work.
Interesting.
Yeah. So those are really good questions to ask yourself. And sometimes it's difficult to recognize it in yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if somebody approaches you and tells you this, you might want to listen. I find that people don't.
Yeah. Well, the primary characteristic of addiction is denial. So, and that's what a bottom, the purpose of a bottom, if we want to say that it has a gift, is it usually breaks the veil of denial. Like you can tell yourself, oh, I just use alcohol or pot or whatever, opioids to reduce my stress. Until the day that you somehow behave in a way that you realize is really destructive. And then that breaks out the denial, breaks down the denial, and you're like, okay, I must have a problem. Or you find yourself in a snowstorm walking 5 miles to get the substance. And you realize, oops.
Might have a problem.
Yeah, though. This is a little extreme.
Yeah.
Right, so people who have a problem are planning their lives around it, right?
They are, but often not consciously, which is why we're posing some of these questions to help you. I mean, P.S., you don't have to immediately put the substance down. It's even the act of deciding whether you're going to continue using or not, or doing, there's a thing called harm reduction where you reduce the amount that you take. You could always try that if you sense it may be a problem. It's a process.
Yeah.
I know I've seen people who try to do it on their own. And what happens is once they get off the substance, then the other behavior, whatever it was covering, starts to appear and they can't cope with it.
That's right.
So this is also maybe another time where you'd want to seek some professional help.
Absolutely.
You don't have to do this alone. Many people have come before you and have dealt with this.
Right.
But I think the main part of this show is really about work.
Right. You know, is it affecting your work performance?
Right. And what I see from people is sometimes they go to work and they're just a little hungover, and they think that's okay, you know, mm-hmm. that they'll be fine by 12 o'clock. But I think it does impair your thinking and your decision making and your energy and how you appear. And don't think other people don't notice it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and also I will say that I think there are a good number, I've worked with a good number of people who know they drink a lot. They may know that they drink too much. They have blackouts during a business dinner, and then they, the next day they're freaking out. Like, what did I say? What happened? And they have to kind of call behind the scenes and ask people, you mm-hmm. know, what happened? Do you remember what I said? Did I offend anybody? And if you're doing that, you have a problem.
Yeah.
So that's just something to know. It's going to be awareness, acceptance, action. It's going to be a process. But if you're worrying about what you've done and said in any work forum, then the recreational substance is probably a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that happy note, join us next time for another My Crazy Office Overtime. And hopefully between now and then, your recreational substances won't be problematic.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.